Morning here in Atlanta, Georgia, to all our listeners, and maybe a good afternoon to our guest on the line today, Ankur Wariku from Delhi in India. I think you guys are going to absolutely love this interview with Ankur. This is Greg Silberman speaking from CIOs and Bowties as we scour the world for excellent investment talent, excellent management talent, and I guess the latest buzzword of this millennium, this decade, is the entrepreneurial talent. But be that as it may, on the line, we have Ankur Wariku. A little bit about Ankur. Let's see. Ankur is the CEO of a company called Nearby, and Nearby is really a management buyout of Groupon India, which Ankur, led back in 2015, buying it from Sequoia Capital. Prior to this, he was at Groupon in charge of APAC emerging markets, a venture partner at Rocket Internet, founded in 2007 in Berlin, co-founder of Ascentium Web Internet Products Company. And I love this part. So Ankur, you speak about getting originally a master's in science degree from Michigan State in astrophysics, returning to India and being practically unemployable, and then doing what every unemployable person does, and that's go ahead and get an MBA. So I love that. MBA at ISB Hyderabad. So Ankur, welcome. Sure. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Greg. Really nice to be there, and thank you for the very kind introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
Lovely, lovely. Well, let's dive in with what I think is probably the most important question, just kicking off straight away, Ankur. And I've heard you comment on this a few times, so I'm just going to get it from the horse's mouth, as it were. Do you really believe in aliens?
I fundamentally do. I think it's almost stupid for us to think that we're the only ones in the universe. And I've grown up on a lot of science and a lot of X-Files to concoct the two and be convinced that if we haven't found connect and contact as yet, it's just a matter of time. So yeah, I do believe in them even today.
All right.
Well, even more so today, I would say.
Fair enough. Well, that was tongue in cheek, but really talk to us a little bit about what drove you into astrophysics. It's kind of a very nuanced field, and tell us a little bit about yourself, as it were. I mean, how do you see yourself? How do you picture yourself in the world, Ankur?
It's a deep question. And then I'll go back to when I was, I think, about 12 or 13, and that point of time, it was super cool to become an astronaut. And I remember my aunt on my birthday gifting me this big book of space, which I was completely enamored by. I fell in love with. Next thing I knew, I was very certain that I wanted to become an astronomer, become a space scientist, eventually do something that has got to do with going into space. And I created a three-step plan for my life. Step one was to go to the US to do a PhD. Step two was to join NASA, and step three was to go to Mars. And this was before Elon Musk and all the enamor that he brings with going to Mars.
Right.
Everything that I was doing was just centered around making this happen. So I went for my bachelor's program in physics. I got through Michigan State, went to do my PhD. But in the course of doing a PhD, I just realized, and it dawned upon me that that was something I was good at, but not something that I was happy doing.
Ah.
And I had to do a reset in life. And that's when, as you mentioned, I came back with a master's in physics, which doesn't really mean anything in India. I had to reinvent my life. But what fundamentally changed was, from a person who was very clear and very decisive, I became what I call today a drifter. I just became a sucker for opportunities and an evaluator for how those opportunities could pan out for me, but extremely open to anything that came my way. And today, to answer your question of how do I see myself in the universe, I do not know. And I've got to a point where I'm completely okay with that. I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone, including myself. I'm thoroughly enjoying myself, whatever I do. I wake up every morning knowing what is expected from me and what I expect from my own self. And I don't know where it will take me. And that's a really good spot to be in, because there is no pressure on myself to be someone, to act like someone, to get to some place. I'm just genuinely enjoying life, and I'm extremely happy doing that.
Right. So again, from my research of you and watching videos of you, you seem like a very inquisitive person, and, you know, really intellectually inquisitive, which I think is great. So let me ask you this for some of our listeners. Do you think in this day and age, it's better for one to be a generalist or to be a specialist as far as any field with which they pursue?
I have a strong opinion on this, Greg, and I feel that we are fundamentally, as a civilization, meant to generalize. And when I meant generalize, I don't mean it in a wrong way or in a bad way. What I mean is we're meant to do several things in a lifetime, to explore different aspects of our personality, of our creativity. And I think it's just the Industrial Revolution in the last 100 years that imposed this concept of specialization on us, because it kind of worked and worked really well for a capitalist setup, where one wouldn't question, one wouldn't ask, and just get that one specific thing done and done better than most others and in the cheapest manner possible. But now in the day and age where there's information all around, one can genuinely be their own celebrity in their own life in whatever manner and stream they choose. It'll be a pity if someone thinks of them as just as an engineer, as a lawyer, or as a doctor for the rest of their life. And an example that I usually quote is when you go back in history and you read, you realize that the men and women who changed the course of the world, whether it's, say, Leonardo da Vinci or Newton or Archimedes, when they are described, they're not described as one person. Leonardo da Vinci is a great example. He was an astronomer and a botanist and a philosopher and an artist and so many other things rolled into one. And that was very normal for that period of time, because everyone was trained to be several things and be good at as good as they could get in those things. And one thing of that would strike you or would enamor you or would interest you for a particular period of your life. And then you moved on to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So it was always the pursuit of creativity, always the pursuit of art, which unfortunately has stopped today. And I think the answer is very, very clear. The way to create value in this world from now on will be for you to be a generalist, but be a curious generalist. Generalist doesn't mean you become a jack of all trades.
Right.
It means that you become a polymath and you devote yourself into becoming good with at least two or three, if not more, subjects.
Yeah, no, spot on. I totally agree with that. And I've made reference. I've been lucky enough, Ankuru, to interview other wonderful guests such as yourself. And I've kind of I've come to terms with the phrase of Renaissance man or Renaissance woman, as it were. And that, you know, specifically as our focus is mostly on the investing side, most of our listeners are ultra high net worth individuals, family offices and the like. So we're looking for the investment talent. And it strikes me quite apparently that those who are of the Renaissance man or woman ilk tend to be better at identifying opportunities. That said, let's dive into what is probably most relevant for our listeners. Explain to us from your perspective what the Indian landscape looks like today for consumer goods and services, and how it's evolving. And I mean, you're at the forefront of that. For sure. So give us the perspective on the ground.
Sure. It's a topic I'm very passionate about. I think when people from outside of India look at India, they're told 1.3 billion people, they're told fastest growing economy, they're told several macro numbers. But only when you dig deeper do you realize that the story is not nearly as much as what it seems to be. For me, especially when it comes to consumer products and services, Greg, India is three distinct countries, what I would call India A, B, and C. India A is no different from you and me. It's It's a privileged class. It's the one that is living in the cities, earning top dollars, travel extensively international, have discretionary spend beyond savings and non-discretionary spend, are and would be no different from if you would encounter them in the Valley or in New York or in Singapore or in Dubai or any place else. But that size of India is no more than 20 to 30 million households, or at best 50 million people amongst 1.3 billion. It's changing, but it's nearly not as much as one would expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is an India too, which is the bulk of what India is. And this is what's truly called the middle class. But the definition of the middle class is important, because in India, the middle class is someone who's earning a total of perhaps $2,000 a year.
A year.
And a year.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that is middle class. It's as low as that. So it almost seems like, oh my God, this is a poor person. But in India, $2,000 a year will fetch you some distance and not so bad. But this is the aspirational crowd. They are exposed to the internet. They are exposed to media. They're exposed to news. They're exposed to lifestyle. So they want to get to where India is. They clearly see what the West has to offer. They clearly see what the developed East has to offer. So they have their eyes and ears set to conquer that part. And this is the part that is going to explode, in my opinion, the next 20, 30 years.
And give us a sense of the size of that middle class. Again.
Yeah. And that's where it gets interesting. So this is anywhere between 400 to 600 million people.
Wow. Mm.
Right, so it's countries put together.
Yes,
it's greater than the size of the U.S.
Yes,
it's almost all of Europe. So it's mega, it's ambitious, it's definitely clever and wanting to do everything right in their lifetime to get to a developed size. And I think the next 20, 30 years we'll see a bulk of this 400, 600 million people move towards closer to, say, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
Which is just GDP. And then there is this bulk India C, which is truly poor. It is genuinely poor. It survives on less than $500 a year. Their fight is not to get to a good life, but just to exist, just to strive, just to survive. And when you see these three countries, which is at best $100 million rich crowd, a 600 odd middle class, and then another 600 poor, you tend to now see why India behaves the way it does and how.
Mm-hmm.
The other very interesting attribute is we are by far the youngest large country in the world. The average age in India is 27 years, and there are 500 million people below the age of 25, which means
staggering.
Their best years are yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that will happen over the next 20, 30 years. It's the same thing that the US experienced of the baby boomers in the 60s and 70s, or what Japan experienced, or what China experienced in the last 20 years. India is going to in the next 20, 30 years. So it's, in summary, a market that's waiting to explode, but that explosion is not going to happen anytime soon, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's a patient game. It's exactly how China unfolded over the last 20 years, where now you're beginning to see massive scale and massive superpower status coming in, whether it's investing, whether it's finance, whether it's education or anything else. I feel that the time for India will be the next 20, 30 years, beginning now.
Wow. Yeah, those numbers are just incredibly huge. And, you know, let us not forget that India is the largest democracy in the world as well,
yeah.
which is definitely something important. Okay, so Ankur, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back for part two, I'm going to, I'd like you to bring it down for us a little bit and speak about how all these trends are impacting your business nearby. So bear with us and we'll be back in a few minutes.